Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
And welcome to episode 317 of Geek Town Radio. I am back this week once again with Robert. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
I'm very, very well. You, of course, are back replacing Bex, who is still buried under piles of stuff. She's actually been down at EGX recently, which is a big gaming thing here in the UK, and was doing panels and stuff there. And, of course, managed to miss her train home one of the days and ended up having to sleep at her friend's house because she got distracted by a dog. So
that's just part for the course. I mean, if it's not distracted by a dog, it's having cats break into her house.
So. Well, exactly. Yeah, you know, she just seems to attract cute and furry animals. But anyway, so how are you doing and what have you been up to the last few weeks?
I'm doing good. My job's been kicking off with travel a lot. For those people that follow me and Matt on Random Gaming Talk, they know that I'm having weird audio issues because I'm traveling on the road and so I can't exactly take my PC and everything with it for that. So I am home right now. There's a federal holiday and we're getting towards the back half of the year, so there's going to be a lot of federal holidays coming up for the next couple of months.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's just more of the usual, playing games, watching movies. Black Widow finally hit Free View on Disney Plus, so I caught that. Annoyingly enough, Free Guy will not be hitting Disney Plus in the States until at a minimum March because of all the fun with lawyers.
Right.
I know it hit Disney Plus over there in the UK, but yeah, I don't get to watch it for a while, or I get a VPN, which I've kind of been meaning to do anyway.
Yeah, well, that is an option. There are a lot of VPNs out there. It's weird because, like, with the Hulu shows, it's usually us that gets screwed, because with a lot of the Hulu shows that go out on Star over here, which is, of course, the adult part of Disney Plus, which you don't get, they delay it by a couple of months or by, like, a few weeks from the Hulu release, I think exactly for that reason, because they don't want people in the US getting VPNs and ignoring Hulu in the US and using VPNs to get it off Star instead. Yeah, it's interesting they've not managed to sort that out with the lawyers. That's, you would have thought that would have been nailed down.
Well, the article that I read was that it was the contracts that were signed for it were signed before Disney bought Fox. And apparently it's something in the contracts to where the right of first display goes actually through HBO and not Disney or Fox.
I see.
So it'll probably end up on like HBO Max or something like that first. And then after that contract expires, then it'll go to Disney Plus.
I see. That's annoying. Oh, well, I'm sure it'll end up there eventually. I know it's been kicking around on things over here. I haven't got around to watching it yet, but yeah. What games have you been playing?
A lot of games, actually. Pretty much everything that I would like playing has had a big release this month. There's a big thing for update 26 for State of Decay 2. Yep. So that caught a bit of my attention. Version 1.0 full official release for Medieval Dynasty came out. So I've been playing that.
Yeah.
And then literally the next week, New Worlds had their official launch. So I've been playing a lot of that as well. That's Amazon's first official game out of their game studio for the studio they bought. They created like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That one I would actually give a warning on to not quite play yet, just because they haven't really sorted out their coding for New Worlds. And it's actually causing the higher end graphics cards to fail and explode and destroy computers.
Yeah, I've been reading some stuff about that. That's quite a major error that they've managed to come up with. Well, I've never heard that before, but yeah.
Basically what it is the code in the game is exposing manufacturing flaws in the card to where the game doesn't limit what graphical output you can have based off of the monitor. So you can actually have the game output to 4K even if you don't have a 4K monitor. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, most people don't have a 4K monitor.
Yeah.
And so because of that, it's maxing out the graphics card. And when I mean maxing out the graphics card, I've seen people running test benches on it to where a card that's rated at 350 watts of electricity for a draw will go 425 watts on a draw for the card. And the processor on the graphics card, which is not set to overclock, will be clocking out at 115%.
Ah, right. Yes.
And there's actually been a couple of videos of cards that have caught on fire and are smoking, like literal smoke coming off of the graphics card. Jesus. And as an end result, the computers will black screen, die, yeah. And then it's 50-50 on whether or not they'll actually reboot.
Well, yeah, that tends to happen when your computer sets itself on fire. So, wow. Yeah, I mean, I know that's not the game's fault, but yeah, that's quite a major flaw to find in the specs for the graphics card. Wow.
And weirdly, it's only on the higher end cards because of the demand for electricity on the card itself. And so like the lower end cards aren't really seeing that problem. Also, if you don't have, like, I build PCs because I like not having all the software crap on it that you would get on a pre-build bought, but I don't put the highest end stuff on mine. And weirdly enough, it's not affecting me. they did actually get their queue fixed because when the game first launched, it was like a 4 or 5 hour queue just to get into the game, which as someone who loves irony, the irony of Amazon, a company whose only profits really come from server services, doesn't have their server services set up. Yeah. Just tickled me to no end. But they did have that. They do have that at least sorted out now to where if you launch the game, it'll take a couple minutes for the game to load, but then you're not waiting 4 hours to play.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's not an uncommon problem when new MMOs launch. But yes, like you say, you would have hoped that somebody like Amazon that actually runs server farms should have that sorted. Really? I mean, come on.
But yeah, that's been my last couple, 3 weeks. So,
any interesting TV stuff?
Yeah, it's interesting because the third season of The Orville is coming out soon on Hulu over here in the States. I'm a big fan of it because I like Seth MacFarlane just because he can do scripts and stuff where it's obviously being political without it being just like a cudgel to beat somebody over the head with.
Yes.
Because me personally, I think 90% of politics is just noise made by idiots, but we all have opinions. And yeah. So I never have a problem with hearing somebody's opinion, but I always have a problem with somebody being, this is the only correct answer.
Yeah.
Of thought.
Yeah.
I hate that. And I've turned off of so many shows because of that, because I don't mind people disagreeing with me. I mean, let's be honest. If the world only had one train of thought, it'd be a boring ass world.
Yeah.
But he's really good at crafting a story to where you can see his point of view, but he's not trying to lord it over you. And The Orville was an awesome example of that.
Yeah.
So it's getting a third season.
Yeah.
Also recently announced they're rebooting Babylon 5.
Yes.
And J. Michael Straczynski is actually part of that reboot. So I'm really curious to see, because that show was way ahead of its time in terms of using CGI and storytelling and things like that. Obviously, being so early in the CGI, it doesn't really hold up very well when you look on rewatches.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's interesting with that because it is entirely him behind it. The only slight concern I have for that is it's being made for the CW at the moment, which seems like a slightly odd place to do it for. You know, I maybe would have liked to have seen it directly go to somewhere like HBO Max or a streaming service or somewhere that maybe has a slightly bigger budget than the CW does. But
yeah, I have an instant distrust of anything made by the CW that took the Archie comics, the most benign milquetoast kind of a comic, and turned it into that dark, gritty nonsense that Riverdale is, which I still refuse to watch anything of, by the way.
Yes, I haven't seen it for a very, very long time. We have got a story on Riverdale coming up later, but but neither of us have watched it. So, there is something about that later on. And I mean, actually, the Riverdale and Sabrina, they weren't directly based off the Archie comics. They were based off the imprint, which there is a comic book, which is a sort of dark, grittier version of it. So they are based off a comic book variant, but yeah, I think what I struggle with is what they've done with some of the Arrowverse stuff. I mean, you talk about politics and they really bash you over the head with some of the things, and I don't mind some politics in TV shows, but really, I mean, they really tried to bludgeon you with it in that show very unsubtly, and that's an issue.
Yep, as I described it to my friend Steve, I quit watching one of the CW series because the writer, and this is is my description of it, was just stroking a hate boner for it.
Yeah.
In terms of politics.
Yeah. There's a few of them that, I mean, the writing has gone downhill in quite a lot of those. I like some of the newer stuff, which is less directly Arrowverse related, but some of those shows are really problematic. I want to tune into those to watch superhero stuff, and they seem to have sort of forgotten about that in some of them. You know, me and Matt, I think we were talking to Matt about it last week about The Flash. I mean, some of the stuff in The Flash, particularly this last season and this season, it's less about the politics with that and more just a case of just terrible writing.
But to be fair, they have to work around so many COVID restrictions, it's not even funny.
Well, yes, there is that. You're talking of games. I've been playing a lot of Medieval Dynasty at the moment, which I know is a game that, like you say, you've been playing as well. I picked it up a while back, but I kind of went back in when they released the full version. And for those of you that don't know, Medieval Dynasty is a game where you essentially play a sort of serf who turns up at this medieval village. It's first person. You are then given a plot of land and says, here you are, go and make a town, and you can get to build your own little town, and you can go on little quests, and you can hire villagers and planting crops and shooting animals and all that sort of stuff. And the goal of it basically is to build a dynasty, so to sort of get a wife and have a kid. And I know they are planning things further down the line of sort of activities you can do with your offspring and that sort of stuff, but the main focus at the moment is building your own little medieval village and stuff. And I think I'm in about year three at the moment. I'm struggling a little bit to find ways of making money because there have been some ways and then they've suddenly nerfed them, which is really annoying. So been really good fun though. And I mean, I love building games, and there are niggling little things with some of the production lines in that game, but overall I have been quite enjoying it. There's quite a lot of stuff to do. Whereabouts are you with it? What sort of point are you at with it?
Well, I haven't gotten past a full year yet, just because I did play it in the early beta and I found that there is so much stuff to do. I immediately switched the season from being 3 days to 10 days, which gives you way more time in the game itself.
Right.
I have found the easiest way to make a lot of money is with crops, because whatever crops you plant, when the season kicks over and you harvest them, not only do you get a ton of whatever you harvested, you basically get 2 to 3 times the number of seeds that you planted. So you have enough seeds to plant for the next season, and then you can sell the rest of it. So selling the rest of that and then selling the rest of whatever vegetable you harvested gets you a ton of money. So money's not anything I've really had an issue with. The biggest issue is that I just cannot figure out the population system in terms of getting people to your village and making them happy. They always leave, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong with that.
It could be either you're not supplying them with enough food, possibly, or you're not upgrading the houses enough, because there are various things you can do to get food. You can build a hunter hut and set hunters up and send them out to get food. That actually will sustain you pretty well rather than doing the crops. You can plant things like onions and carrots and, you know, all those sort of vegetables. But in actual fact, I've ended up using most of the crop fields that I've put down to make flax, particularly because flax seed sells for like 10 silver rather than some of the other crops that sell for like 5 or 3. Flax seeds is actually quite a good way of doing it. So it's possible you've not got food set up properly, or firewood is the other thing that you tend to run out of. You need to have somebody feeding firewood into it. It helps if you upgrade the houses as well, because you can build the houses out of wooden sticks and stuff, but you can also build them out of stone, and they tend to be a lot happier if they're in stone houses. It's possibly something to do with that. Why? I mean, I've got like 30 odd people in my village, and they're having children and stuff now, which is mildly annoying, because when they have children, the women, once they give birth, basically stop working and spend 2 years carrying a baby around. So you then kind of got to try and find other people to fill in those jobs, which means building more houses, because you can only have like one family a house and all that sort of stuff. So it gets quite complicated. And the stuff with the seasons is kind of annoying, because you can place villagers to do certain jobs in the village, such as chopping wood or planting seeds and stuff. The problem is there is an interface to say, you know, I want you to spend 50% of your time doing this particular action and 50% of your time doing this particular action. Although you can set that up, you can't set that up seasonally, and it's not clever enough for it to go, oh, okay, I can't do that this season, therefore I'll spend that time doing something else. They'll just not work for 50% of the time. So the system's a little bit dumb in the way it's set up at the moment. I hope that's something they kind of rework now they've got the sort of bases launched. So it's not perfect. There are issues with it, but I think there are things that you could probably fix. And they certainly, I mean, I've spent quite a few hours in that game. I think it's certainly one that has a lot of potential to grow as well. Definitely one worth playing around with.
It's also a fairly small studio as well. So it's not like they have a couple hundred people they can throw at it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they've done a great job to get it where they are, because like you say, they are a very small studio. So there's some interesting stuff which they could change and update in that. Just a few tweaks would actually massively improve things in that. But it's still a really fun game. Have you tried Satisfactory, if you like those sort of games?
I have not, but I have seen it.
Because it's not got as quite detailed production line as something like Satisfactory. And obviously, I mean, Satisfactory is more a futuristic thing because you are setting up a mining colony on a remote planet. You've got to build various factory elements to create production chains to build bigger and more complex things. But there is a sort of certain element to the type of thing that you get in Medieval Dynasty to Satisfactory as well, in that you've got to set up production chains. It's just in Satisfactory, it's building conveyor belts and huge machinery to do things, whereas you're really using villages to do it in Medieval Dynasty. But there are similarities, I think, between the two. If you like Medieval Dynasty, I think Satisfactory is certainly one that would be worth looking out at as well.
Yeah, the only other thing I've been playing, and it's something that I had absolutely nothing on the radar, so it came completely out of nowhere. It's a game called The Procession to Cavalry. Have you heard of it?
No, that's not one I've come across.
It is a very bizarre game. It's a point-and-click adventure, very, very heavily inspired by Monty Python and the Flying Circus.
Right.
The art style is like bang on, just a giant love note to that series.
Okay.
You play as a woman that they don't actually name, who loves murder, just absolutely loves murdering people. And it's at the end of the Holy War, and she's all bummed that she can't murder people anymore. But the hero of the Holy War, who's now the leader, didn't actually kill the bad guy. And so she's like, cool, this is somebody I get to murder. But you have to spend the whole game not murdering people and then going through a point and click adventure. Time-wise, it's set in like early 14, 1500s.
Yeah.
Very bizarre, very quirky, a lot of music. Like the game opens up with the Star Spangled Banner, which obviously didn't exist back then.
Yeah.
And then every scene that you go to is another very orchestral thing going on with the actual band in the screen that you can talk to. And every time you go up to them, if you try to interact, you just wind up like clapping because they're so awesome. So it's very trippy, very bizarre. But if you're looking for something, to quote Monty Python, and now for something completely different, I would definitely check out that game. It's super cheap. It's like $10 on Steam. It's part of Game Pass. So if you have that, you can just play it for free.
Cool. What was it called again? I'll have to go look that up.
Procession to Cavalry.
Okay.
No idea why it's called that, but that's just what it's called.
Okay. I'll have to go and look that up. One of the other things, which I actually played a few weeks ago, Jurassic World Evolution 2, which isn't actually out until, I think it's November 9th is the release date of it. But I got to have a play around in that game. There is a first impressions article up on the website. There's also some new gameplay footage. I did an interview with the game director Rich Newbold for that game as well. If you like the original Jurassic World Evolution, Jurassic World Evolution 2 is basically that and more. They've listened to a lot of the community feedback. They've added a lot more stuff in. There's a whole new bunch of dinosaurs in. There's a lot more customization, new story. They've got this wonderful thing called Chaos Theory Mode, which is a kind of what-if idea of taking certain scenarios from the films, but you're now in charge of the park. So it's like, what if Jurassic Park San Diego had actually opened and you were now in charge of it? So they've got those sort of scenarios in, as well as an entirely new main story, which follows on from the second Jurassic World film. So there's loads of new stuff in there. The video, actually, I interviewed Rich Newbold, who's the game director of it. He actually confirmed two new dinosaurs in that video. I'm going to miss pronounce these horribly, but the Elasmosaurus and Lyloperudon, I think, are the names of them. But he mentioned these just in passing, in casual passing of part of the conversation of saying, oh, these dinosaurs are in there. Apparently, that's the first time he'd actually mentioned that. And that was a confirmation for it. And I completely missed that because I hadn't been keeping track of all the dinosaurs that have been announced so far. And it was actually somebody else, one of the other huge fans of the game, that actually spotted it and highlighted it in a sort of news video and then sent people back to my video as well. So thanks to them, they pulled that information out of my video that I completely missed, that was an exclusive announcement, which is kind of sad, but there we go. But the game itself, really, really good fun, well worth playing. I don't know, do you play those sort of top-down city management type things?
I have played a couple of those games, nothing really recently, but I am familiar with them, so.
Yeah, Jurassic World Evolution's a really nice version of that. It's, it's from Frontier Developments, who make all the Planet Zoo and Planet Coaster games, and they do a great job with those, and it's in that sort of vein, but I really enjoyed the playthrough of that, so I'm very much looking forward to playing a full version of that. On the TV side, Walking Dead World Beyond came back for the first episode of Season 2. I'm not going to go into a huge amount of detail in that, because me and Matt do an entire podcast on that, which first one went out on Wednesday, so you can go and get that over at Entertainment Talk. Miracle Workers Oregon Trail, I watched the first three episodes of that. Now, you sent me a clip of this, which, I mean, just, I was like, I have to go and see this, of Daniel Radcliffe gyrating in, like, leather chaps, basically.
Assless leather chaps with leather knickers.
Yeah, and he's like, what on earth is this? I watched the first few episodes. I have seen the episode that's actually in as well. I think that's episode 4 is that's in. So those are the first, I've actually seen the first 4 episodes of it. But basic premise of Miracle Workers, it changes every season. This one is called Oregon Trail. It starts off with Daniel Radcliffe playing the Reverend at this small dying town, and they are trying to get to Oregon through the Oregon Trail. Nobody knows the direction, and this outlaw played by Steve Buscemi turns up, called Benny the Teen, obviously a take on Billy the Kid, and shows up, and he's actually tried to escape the law, but sort of pretends that he's knows his way to Oregon, so he basically agrees to show them the trail to take them to Oregon, and the entire show is them on the road going through the Old West. It's as hilarious as the first couple of seasons. I've hugely, hugely been enjoying it. Have you actually watched this, or did you just find that one clip?
Somebody sent me that one clip and it kind of broke my brain a little bit. But being the Oregon Trail, if somebody doesn't die of dysentery, I will be severely disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, literally the opening scene is people dying in that town of various illnesses. And he's like, yeah, we need to get out of here and go somewhere else. But yeah, there are dysentery jokes in there and there's all sorts of stuff. The usual sort of modern references that you get mixed in that shouldn't kind of be in there. Like they meet a couple who are traveling around the country in their wagon. They're sort of free-spiriting it sort of around the country, and they're kind of horribly obnoxious kind of people, you know. There's all the sort of modern references and stuff in there which shouldn't really be in there. But I mean, it works really, really well. It's very, very funny. The whole thing is actually up on Sky now. You can actually go and watch it. It's all on demand, so you can go and find it all on there. But it's airing weekly on Sky Comedy as well, so you can go and find that on there. The other thing as well was the Billions finale. Billions actually came to a sort of surprise again, so spoilers for the final episode if you haven't watched it, but it ends with Damian Lewis's character leaving the show. It's not clear whether he'd made this decision beforehand or whether this came after, because I'm sure many of you are aware his wife Helen McCrory passed away from cancer earlier this year, so I don't know whether this is directly a result of that or whether he'd already decided that he was going to leave at this point anyway. I will be very sad to see him go, because the entire premise of the show has been based around his character versus Paul Giamatti's character. They had already bought in a character called Michael Prince, played by Corey Stoll, who is sort of a rival of Axe's, so he was sort of already there, and he essentially ends up sort of getting the better of Axe and taking over the whole of Axe Capital, but in the process screws over Chuck, Paul Giamatti's character, so it then sets up this rivalry between those two. So it seems that he is going to be taking over as the lead, and that's going to be the main rivalry moving forward. The rest of the cast are still there, so I'm sort of interested to see see how this works for the sixth season. Looks like they basically went straight into filming the sixth season because they shut down for a bit, obviously because of COVID. They ended up splitting season five into two halves. So it has only just finished in the US and in the UK. The sixth season is actually coming back in January. So they're not that much of a break until it returns again. So I'm looking forward to seeing that coming back as well. But I thought it was a really good finale how they wrote him out. And I think that worked really, really well. That's all the stuff we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. Let's move into the TV and film news. We kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. We have only one cancellation this week, which is good news. It's a show called Dash and Lily, which was a romantic comedy, which was on Netflix. I think it's actually ended about a year ago and they finally got around to saying that they've cancelled it and it's not coming back. That isn't returning if you like that show. One renewal as well, which is Foundation, which is the Apple TV Plus show, which has been spectacular so far. I mean, it's a crazy, really what would have been a few years ago a completely unfilmable story, and they're doing a really good job managing to hold that together. That has been renewed for a second season. That's based on the Isaac Asimov novels. The other thing which they've announced is NCIS Hawaii and FBI International have both had full season pickups at CBS as well, so both of those will be getting full seasons, which I don't think comes as any huge surprise that either of those are coming back, given that it's NCIS and FBI. In terms of pickups and other news, Channel 4 and the other channels are still suffering horrendous problems from the Red Bee media fire / incident. It's still not entirely clear whether there was actually a fire. I don't know whether you heard about any of this, but basically Red Bee Media is a broadcast centre in the UK, which apparently handles the outgoing broadcasts for quite a lot of the different TV channels. And they had smoke appear in one of the rooms. And what happened was, because there was smoke, the fire suppression system kicked in and sucked all the oxygen out of that particular server room. But in doing so, it created some sort of sonic blast, which fried every single piece of equipment in the room. And because of that, it took Channel 5 off air, Channel 4 off air, and has completely screwed a bunch of the other channels because it also handled things like subtitling and audio descriptive services. So Channel 4 doesn't have any subtitles or audio descriptive. I think a number of the BBC shows don't either. This was like 3 weeks ago, and they still haven't managed to get it up and running. One of the other things that it took off air was For Music. So if you go to For Music on Sky right now, the channel that you're seeing isn't For Music. It's a feed of the Box Hits channel, which is also owned by Channel 4. The reason that I'm mentioning this is because The 100 Season 7 was due to be broadcast on the 15th of October on For Music. And I've had a lot of people messaging me saying, it's not on there, it's not on there. The reason it's not on there is because the thing that is on the EPG right now isn't For Music, it's the Box Hit Music channel. What they are saying basically is, if they can get For Music back on air by the 15th, the 100 will air on the 15th. If they can't, they are looking to try and air it around the 28th. But again, it entirely depends on whether they can get it back up and running. But it seems having everything run through this one particular company was a really, really bad idea, because, I mean, it's been 3 weeks and they're still not back up and running, which is really not a good sign. I can't imagine the US having, like, I mean, it's like everything running through one server. Seems like a really bad idea to me.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of that, but I'm not overly surprised that it's taken that long. Part of what I do work for the as a contractor for the state government, and I've seen server rooms, and they are set up to where if something goes wrong, they don't dick around. Like, they use a fire suppression system that will literally kill you if you're in the build, if you're in the room.
Well, yeah,
because it will suck out all the oxygen and dump out a non-liquid based foam to kill the fire. And if you're in that room when it happens, you're dead. You suffocate before you even know you're dead.
Yeah.
As for everything running in the room, I mean, bureaucracy. You know, I've seen projects that under normal circumstances would take 2 weeks, take 2 years. So
yeah,
no real shock on that one.
Yeah, I think if it had just been related to one channel or they'd had a decent sort of backup, I get it. But like channel 5 is running in emergency mode now, which is what that little symbol is. You might see a little black and white symbol in the top right-hand corner of the screen. That signifies that it's running in emergency mode, which basically means it's running out of a different location. Channel 4, as I say, are still running from a backup location and still can't get their subtitles back up. And apparently subtitles across the various different channels are not working because they handled that for a load of different people. I mean, this does not look good for them, the fact that they haven't managed to get something back up and running, and just not a good look at all. We'll see whether it all manages to resolve itself. But like I say, in terms of broadcast, particularly for our audience, the 100 premiere that was, I mean, it's already been like over a year since it finished broadcasting in the US. Season 7 of the 100 was supposed to go out on the 15th. That may not happen now because of all this stuff with Red Bee Media. They are saying the 28th is another possibility, but again, it very much relies on whether they can get anything back up and running by then. So we'll see. Another big launch in the UK was Sky announced something called Sky Glass, which is a new streaming TV which has Sky built into it. It's a UHD Quantum Dot Ultra HD 4K Dolby Vision TV that comes in 43-inch, 55-inch and 65-inch. It's got Dolby Atmos 3.1.2 output speakers built in. So that's three outward firing, one central subwoofer, two upward firing speakers. It's got Sky integrated directly into the TV. So there's no need for a dish. There's no separate box. It's got voice control and Wi-Fi built in. So it's the first time you can actually get Sky directly off Wi-Fi without a dish. They're saying it's the world's first TV to be certified completely carbon neutral. In terms of the cost, it's going to be £13 to £21 over 48 months interest free, or you can pay up front and get it for £649 to £1,049 for the TV, plus there's obviously the Sky package and your broadband on top of that. But it doesn't seem overly unreasonable in terms of price for the TV. I mean, a 65-inch TV for £21 a month for 2 years, and it seems like it's a pretty decent spec TV. I mean, it kind of depends on whether you're in the market for a new television or not, and whether you want to be tied directly into Sky that much. And how good your Wi-Fi is, because that's the other thing as well.
Yeah, this I have several questions on. First off, I'm curious as to who's actually manufacturing the TV, because I seriously doubt it's Sky.
Yeah.
I think the naming it Sky Glass is stupid, because that just reminds me of Google Glass.
Yes.
The failed attempt of augmented reality glasses. I seriously question the carbon neutral thing, just because I worked for years in electronics recycling. I've seen there's no such thing as carbon neutral. Mm-hmm. There's always something. It might just be strictly in the manufacturing part of it.
Yeah.
But even then, I mean, you got to get it to market. So does that factor in the transportation from wherever it's being manufactured to wherever it's being sold?
Mm-hmm.
It yes. sounds cool as a marketing term, but I just don't buy it. Outside of that, I think it's just because I live here in the States and the TV manufacturing has absolutely no connection to television broadcast. So that seems a little weird, but I've seen weirder stuff. So
this is uncommon over here as well. I mean, this is kind of a very new idea of actually having the broadcast service actually selling the TV itself with the service built into it directly. That is unusual. There are advantages to this in that it is Wi-Fi, and you know, Sky generally comes through a satellite dish, and this is the first time you'll be able to get full Sky directly through Wi-Fi. So if you're in an apartment building that won't allow you to put a dish on the outside, which is quite common, this may be quite a good option for you. There is a question as to whether you want to throw away your current TV for one of these, and I kind of want to see how reliable the tech is before I make any sort of switch. So I think there are advantages to it, and if it is a decent quality TV, I think it's actually not a bad deal, but I sort of want to see it working in action and some people having a play around with it before I'd commit to it, you know, because I mean, I get why they're doing it. It makes sense for Sky because it ties you into Sky. and it ties your TV into Sky. So I entirely get why, because the problem Sky has been having is it is quite expensive and you can get most of the stuff that you get off Sky on Now TV, which they also own, but for a fraction of the price. So I can see why they've come up with this as a possibility. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad product, but I do want to see the quality of what they've actually produced and how well it works before I commit to anything. That's Sky Glass anyway. It is out there. You can go and check on the Sky website for more information about that. There's a whole bunch of trailers dropped this week because it was New York Comic Con and a load of things came out from that. House of the Dragon, which is the Game of Thrones people, that got its first trailer. Were you a Game of Thrones person? I don't know whether you watched that.
I watched it just because it was part of the zeitgeist and everybody was talking about it. Didn't really care for it that much. I mean, some things were interesting, but I never got like the obsession with it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it until you got to that final season and they really screwed up that final season. I mean, it takes some talent to screw up a final season to the extent of it kills even people going back and wanting to rewatch the previous seasons. You know,
probably the funniest thing was, have you ever seen Parks and Recreation?
I've seen a few episodes of it. It's one that's on my very long list of things that I need to go and sit and watch through. Yeah,
in the last season they did like a 5-year time jump, but it was still like a couple 3 years before the last season of Game of Thrones came out. And there was kind of a throwaway line to where one character was talking about how they were excited for the upcoming marriage between Daenerys Targaryen and Johnny Depp's character from Pirates of the Caribbean. And the next character said, that makes no sense. And then the character says, well, if you'd have read the books, it would have made more sense. And that was like I said, that was like a good 2-3 years prior to that last season coming out. Yeah. And the fact that they kind of predicted the last season being so bizarre is very, very bizarre.
Yes, that's funny. There is a small trailer up for House of the Dragon, which shows you the first footage of it. I mean, I'll watch it. I don't want to kind of... There are different people involved with this show. It's not the guys that sort of ruin the final season of the main show. So we'll see how it works. But yes, it has lost some of its shine. We'll see whether it works or not. We've got some advanced air dates as well. Young Sheldon season 4, which, I mean, season 5 is about to start in the US, but season 4 is finally premiering over here. That's on Wednesday, the 20th of October at 9 p.m. on E4. That has landed. Lock and Key has got a premiere date for season 2. That's on the 22nd of October on Netflix. Dexter New Blood has got a premiere date. That is coming Monday, the 8th of November at 10 p.m. I think that's airing the day after the US, so that's coming pretty close. Hannah, which was a really, really interesting drama on Amazon, that's got a season 3 premiere date. That's the 24th of November. Lost in Space is back for its third and final season. That's coming the 1st of December. And The Expanse season 6, and that's its final season as well. That's got a premiere date of the 10th of December as well. Have you watched any of those?
No, not really. I mean, I'm familiar with Dexter. I've just never seen it. Lost in Space, I honestly forgot about. The Expanse, I have seen the first couple seasons, and it's just one of those on my list that, yeah, I need to watch that, and then I completely forget about it.
Yeah, The Expanse is a really, really good show, but it is one that you kind of need to dedicate your time to and pay attention to, because it gets quite complex as you kind of get through it. I am looking forward to Dexter coming back. I think that's really good. I'm still only like halfway through the first season of Lock and Key. That's my show that I kind of go, oh yeah, I must go back and finish that. Hannah, I'm looking forward to coming back. I came to that quite late, but that's a really good thriller that I really enjoyed. And yeah, Lost in Space has been off air for like 2.5 years or something, but I'm glad that's coming back and that's finishing as well. So moving on to other things, Doctor Who has also got a premiere date and a tiny, tiny little trailer. That's going to be returning in October, they have announced. The little teaser trailer really doesn't give much away, but they have given us a title for it. It's called Doctor Who Flux. So this season is only 6 episodes. Rather than a sort of monster of the week with a season-long story running in the background, it's going to be 6 episode continuous story over the entire thing, which I think possibly will suit Chris Chibnall a bit more, because that's more the sort of thing that he always used to do, was those sort of shorter seasons like Broadchurch and that sort of thing. It's going to be those 6 episodes, and then it's going to return around New Year's Day for a festive special. Then it's going to get another special in spring, then a final feature length special, which will be in the autumn 2022. And that's going to be the regeneration episode. And then Jody leaves, Chris leaves, and it all gets handed over to Russell T. Davies for 2023. And whoever becomes the new Doctor, who we don't know at the moment. The new trailer doesn't really give a huge amount away, other than saying the Flux is coming and bringing with it Santarans, Weeping Angels, some creatures known as the Ravagers, and enemies from across the universe. So it basically seems like Chris Chibnall has just gone, screw it, we're just going to throw everything into this final season. Just as like pulled out the Doctor Who toolbox and just thrown every villain he possibly can in there. We'll see how that plays out. But we know we're getting at least one new companion and another new character. So the season's going to kick off in Liverpool, where they meet a character called Dan Lewis, who is going to be played by John Bishop. We're also going to meet a character called Vindar, who's played by Jacob Anderson from Game of Thrones. He's going to be a recurring character in this 6-episode season as well. And Mandip Gill is back as Yaz for this season, following the departure of Graham and Ryan. He's Doctor Who one that you keep up with.
I kind of fell off of Doctor Who. I did see it from the original launch with Eccleston.
Yeah.
And I liked it. And then obviously David Tennant came in and he was just fun energy. Mm-hmm. I was a little concerned with Matt Smith, but he really won me over, because my big question was, how is somebody that looks that young going to sell being that old? And he really did it. He really did a good job. I wasn't the biggest fan of Capaldi. He kind of warmed on me a bit, but that last season just got super preachy and super political in the worst ways. And I just had a bad feeling about it.
Yeah.
And then I watched the first two episodes with the Jodie Whittaker, and I'm like, yep, they're just going to, you know, beat you over a head with this. And I was like, nope, and I'm out.
Yeah. That first season of Chris Chibnall's and Jodie Whittaker's was not great. It got better in the second season. They actually found a bit more of a footing, and she's actually quite good. She just suffered from not particularly great writing, I think, is the problem with that. I'm very excited to see Russell T. Davies come back, and I'm going to be quite interested to see what he does with it now as well. And it's like a centenary thing at the BBC, and I think it's the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who as well. So there's a whole bunch of things going to be happening when Russell T. Davies comes back, and whoever takes over the new Doctor, that's going to be a huge role for them. But we don't know yet, so we'll see. Over on Disney Plus, they've announced, well, not Disney Plus have announced, but it has been revealed by some of the trades that there is a WandaVision spin-off in the works starring Catherine Hahn. Catherine Hahn, of course, played the sort of nosy neighbour who was then revealed to, spoilers if you haven't seen WandaVision, revealed to be Agatha Harkness, who is a sort of all-powerful witch that was trying to steal Wanda's powers. We don't know much about it other than it's going to be some sort of dark comedy. When we left Agatha, Wanda had basically condemned her to being the sitcom character that she originally portrayed herself to be. So sort of wiping her memory and shoving her back in the town that they were in as this sort of nosy neighbor character. So presumably this will be her kind of breaking out of that and discovering that she is actually a witch again. So I would guess that's the way that they're going. It's from Jack Sheffer, who is the head writer, was the head writer on WandaVision. He's going to be the writer of an exec producer on it, but we don't really know any more about it than that at the moment. I think that could be quite an interesting one to take on.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Catherine Hahn. I've been watching her career forever. I first remember her from a show she did way back in the day in 2001 called Crossing Jordan, which was kind of an early procedural kind of quote from the perspective of a coroner. She kind of, it was in that kind of police world.
Yeah.
She did a hilarious character in a Matthew McConaughey movie, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, she's done a ton of stuff. She's always working. Had a great, hilarious recurring character in Parks and Rec, going back to that. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that they're going to do a spinoff character with her, because she's just that awesome. It's just one of those things that role was amazing for her. And, you know, I'm all for it. I can't wait.
I can sort of see, I mean, we don't know what the plot's going to be, but the idea of her kind of discovering that she's been betrayed and getting her powers back, you'd almost kind of looking at maybe a dark, twisted version of sort of Bewitched. As you know, she's sort of, you know, she's this housewife that suddenly realizes realizes that she has all these powers. That's going to be kind of interesting, I think. She's apparently next playing Joan Rivers in a limited series for Showtime. She's also in The Shrink Next Door, which is a new comedy on Apple TV Plus with Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd, also from the MCU. And she's in Knives Out 2 as well. So she's quite busy at the moment. She's got lots of things kicking around. But I think that's going to be interesting to see her come back. If that moves forward, it's in development at the moment, that WandaVision series. So we'll have to see whether it actually comes to fruition. It's D23 fairly soon, so we may get an official announcement. When's D23? November 19th, 20th and 21st D23 is. So we may find out more then, but we'll have to wait and see. That Riverdale news I mentioned earlier, it's been announced that Sabrina from The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is finally going to turn up in Riverdale, which was always the plan originally. I mean, Sabrina series was pitched as a spin-off series to run on CW, and then Netflix offered them more money. So it ended up being a Netflix series and kind of squashed any possibility of them doing crossovers at the time. So Sabrina is apparently now turning up in Riverdale. Now, as you said, you don't watch this. I don't watch this. From my understanding of Riverdale, I mean, it started off as being this sort of interesting little teen drama about some kids in school. There was a murdered kid and it was a big kind of murder mystery thing. That was all fine. Since then, the latest season apparently has included a possible alien abduction and ended with Cheryl invoking a curse originally spoken by her ancestors, who has been burned alive as a witch at the time, and it targeted Archie, Jughead and Betty. So that's the sort of lead in to bringing Sabrina onto the show, apparently. So they've got into aliens and witches. I mean, yeah. I don't watch the show. I haven't seen it I dropped out, I think, partway through the second season. Sabrina's going to turn up in episode 4. It's going to be like a 5-part opening event thing in season 6.
Yeah, see, hearing things like that just makes me remind me of the third Austin Powers movie where he tries to explain time travel. Yeah. And then he gets a little bit into it and says, and now I've gone cross-eyed.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. I have sort of thought maybe I should jump back into this. I think Matt watched the finale just to see where it was going, but
this is how bad it is. Until somebody explained to me it was like in the third season, I didn't even know that it was based off of Archie comics. I just saw Riverdale, but I honestly did not make the association between Riverdale and the Archie comics until I was randomly talking with somebody about it, and I pulled it up on IMDb's website, and I'm looking at the names, and I'm like, this is Archie comics? What the hell?
Yeah. As I say, there is a kind of adult horror spin-off in comic book form. There is genuinely a version of the comic book, which is a sort of darker, more adult version of Archie. So that's what they based it off. And it's the same with Sabrina, which based off that adult imprint of the Archie comics, but they are the same characters. So that's where it came from. It is very weird, because I remember when I first heard the news, I was exactly the same reaction of like, they're making what now? So yes, it just seems to have gone off in this really odd, weird direction as the seasons have gone on. But anyway, if you like The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, then she will be showing up in Riverdale next season, apparently. And lastly, That 70s Show is getting a spin-off, which I think they've tried before, but they are trying again. It has actually been ordered. They are making The 90s Show at Netflix. This is going to include original 70s Show cast members Kurtwood Smith and Deborah Jo Rupp, who played Red and Kitty. They're also going to be exec producers on the show as well. So it's set in 1995 and it follows Leah Forman, the daughter of Eric and Donna, who is visiting her grandparents for the summer, where she bonds with the new generation of Point Place kids under the watchful eye of Kitty and the stern glare of Red. Sex, drugs and rock and roll never dies. It just changes clothes. So that's the strapline for it. It's from the people that made The 70s Show, so it's all the main people behind it. You've got that crossover of having Red and Kitty back. No mention of any of the other cast members, but I think that's kind of a way to do it, you know, introduce a new bunch of kids, but have the adults still be the kind of stuck in their ways, adults in there. So I think that sort of works, but it's a Netflix series, so it's 10 episodes. Don't know when it'll going to land, presumably sometime next year, but it's called The 90s Show. Did you watch the original 70s show?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the original 70s shows. A lot of people probably aren't going to be on it. I don't see Danny Masterson reprising his role.
No.
I am curious, didn't they recast that daughter a couple of times? I know they did at least once, where she was just gone for the longest time.
Yeah, I remember something vaguely about that. I've not seen every episode. I've seen quite a few of the original series. I don't know. I mean, I think this is an interesting way of doing it, of having it of being the child of Eric and Donna without needing to have those people back, but keeping the adults there, because it was always that sort of relationship between the adult characters and the child characters. I think that works quite well. Although, I mean, the fact that it's a 90s show and that's sort of been done as a nostalgia thing kind of depresses me.
They also tried to do a spin-off right after that show ended called That 80s Show.
Yes.
But that didn't last very long.
It has been ordered. It is coming to series. So it's called That 90s Show. It will be coming to Netflix at some point, presumably next year, but we'll have to wait and see. That's all the news we've got for this week. Let's move on to some highlights for next week on TV. Highlights for next week. We have quite a few things starting and things coming back. Reservation Dogs is coming to star on Disney Plus. That's on the 13th of October. It's a coming of age comedy about four Native American teens growing up on a reservation in eastern Oklahoma. That's been getting quite good reviews, I think. So I think that could be quite good fun. Guilt, season two of that starts on BBC Two on the 14th of October. That's at 9 p.m. Another Life, which is the Katie Sackhoff space series, which I think a lot of people were quite surprised that got renewed, but it did, and that's coming back for a second season on the 14th of October. It was quite a fun sci-fi series, I thought. That was, I quite enjoyed that. I don't know whether you caught that.
I completely missed it. Right now my only Netflix is The Great British Bake Off. Yeah. Although it's branded here as The Great British Baking Show.
Yes. Yeah.
And that first episode of seeing Noel and Paul Hollywood dressed up as 90s era Billy Ray Cyrus singing a parody song of Achy Breaking Heart was just so bizarre.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I'm glad it's entertaining you. I'm a terrible British person. I don't watch Bake Off at all, but yes.
You also partner with Bex, who doesn't like tea, so you're both terrible British people.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, that is true. We really should have our Britishness revoked. Next, the 100, as I mentioned, really depends on whether 4 Music comes back on air, but I mean, that is still in the listings for the 15th of October, but that very, very much depends on whether they actually manage to get 4 Music back on air by then. Also on the 15th, I Know What You Did Last Summer is coming to Amazon Prime. That's a brand new series based on the original books and a bit of the film franchise. So that is a series based on I Know What You Did Last Summer. That's coming to Amazon Prime. You returns for its third season. That's on the 15th of October on Netflix. Cobra Cyber War, that comes to Sky Max on the 15th of October. That's on at 9 p.m. That's the second season of the Robert Carlyle series where he plays the Prime Minister and dealing with crisis and stuff. Hightown returns for its second season. That's on Starzplay. That's on the 17th of October. Succession returns on the 18th of October. That's simulcasting with the US, so that's going to be 2 a.m. and then it will repeat at 10 p.m., I think. So that's back for its third season. Fear the Walking Dead returns for season 7. That's on AMC Global in the UK. It'll also be available to buy, I think, on Amazon. It's not on Amazon Prime, but on Amazon. It comes onto Amazon Prime after about a year. But if you want to see it and you don't have AMC Global, it will be available to buy on normal Amazon. That's on the 18th of October at 9 p.m. for Fear the Walking Dead season 7. The Good Doctor returns for season 5. That's on Sky Witness on the 19th of October at 9 p.m. And Impeachment, American Crime Story, that lands for the third season of American Crime Story. That's on the 19th of October at 9:15. That's everything to come up this week. There's going to be lots of things around as we get into sort of new seasons of shows. If they want to find more of your podcast stuff, where can they find you?
Well, I podcast with Matt over at entertainmenttalk.org. We do random gaming talk every week. And then we'll occasionally do recaps of shows for movies, whatever. We actually never got around to doing a review of the Loki series because we were trying to get Dex on because she's such a huge Loki and Tom Hiddleston fan, but her schedule just didn't allow it and it kind of whiffed. There's no real plan right now to do a What If review because he's super behind on it. I just finished the last episode. I'm super bummed that they actually cut an episode out and they're going to shoehorn it in another season because it really doesn't explain a character in the finale.
Right.
I don't really live stream at all, so I'm not on Twitch or anything like that. So yeah, Entertainment Talks about the best place to find me and Matt doing other stuff.
You can go and find Robert and Matt over on entertainmenttalk.org for lots and lots more podcasts over there. And of course, we are doing The Walking Dead. I'm doing that with Matt over there. Both the last episode of the main Walking Dead this week, and then we'll be doing The World Beyond as well. That will take over for the next few weeks as well. For other people as well, Bex, you can go and find at twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's B-Y-T-E-S for lots of silliness and sitting in boxes and playing retro games and all sorts of other ridiculous, stupid things over there. You can also find Daryl at HollywoodNorthNews.net for all those TV series you love, which are shot in Canada. For us, you can go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram @geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.